1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
It was a look, it was a feeling, and man, was it a sound. Hi, I'm John Thalle, General Manager of KCPR, and we here at the Sound Alternative are proud to be presenting a tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. For the next 2 hours, we will salute the men and the music that were part of the musical revolution. So please, sit back, relax, remember, and don't forget, it's all right to get up and dance in the aisles. Now, here's your host, Frank Warren, and KCPR's tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
30 years after the birth of rock and roll, a foundation was established to preserve the best of the beginning. Hi, I'm Frank Warren, your host for KCPR's tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 1983, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Foundation was created by a group of top music industry people, and Ahmet Ertegun, president of Atlantic Records, was chosen as the hall's chairperson. The foundation will build a museum that will serve as a permanent shrine to the designers and creations of the music that changed the world. The museum's location has yet to be determined, but New Orleans, Memphis, and Cleveland are all possible contenders. The first official Hall of Fame ceremony was held at New York's Waldorf Astoria on January 23rd of this year. A group of KCPR's top air personalities got together to honor the performers and non-performers who have been recognized as the first inductees. And to get this show rolling, here is KCPR's music director, Mr. Scott Larson, and his tribute to the Everly Brothers.
The Everly Brothers brought white country harmony to rock and roll, and with an honesty and sincerity that went against the very meaning of the music, defined forever the place of love in rock and roll. Hello, I'm Scott Larson with a nod toward two men who helped invent rock and roll, the Everly Brothers. The children of an already respected country and western team, Ike and Margaret Everly, Phil and Don grew up on country and had been on Mom and Dad's radio show since they were 7 and 9 years old. It was their potential as a country act that got them their first contract with Cadence Records. After 2 years in Nashville, the Everlys had gone almost nowhere, and getting a signing to Cadence was a gamble now rarely seen. Budlow Bryant, a successful writer, had a song that had been rejected by 30 other artists, but the Everlys liked it, and it was their first release from their first Cadence recording session. Bye Bye Love hit the charts less than 2 weeks after its release, and reached number 1 and 2 on the country and pop charts.
I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye, love. Bye bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye bye, my love. Goodbye. There goes my baby with someone new. She sure looks happy. I sure am blue. She was my baby till he stepped in. Goodbye to romance that might have been. Bye bye, love. Bye bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye bye, love. Bye bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye-bye, my love. Goodbye. I'm through with romance. I'm through with love. I'm through with counting the stars above. And here's a reason that I'm so free. My loving baby is through with me. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, happiness. Hello, loneliness. I think I'm gonna cry. Bye-bye, love. Bye-bye, sweet caress. Hello, emptiness. I feel like I could die. Bye-bye, my love. Goodbye. Bye-bye, my love.
Bye Bye Love established the sound that the Everly Brothers would use for almost every song for the next 3 years. Although it wouldn't change, it was a very flexible setup of two rhythm guitars with bass, drums, and piano pushing from behind, and those voices making a seamless ribbon. In those 3 years, they averaged a top 10 hit every 4 months. Most of these were, at first, written by Bryant, who, accurately or not, tailored the songs to his impression of the world in which the Everly's audience lived, where love is all that matters and parents are the most likely source of irritation. What Phil and Don did with those songs changed them from throwaways into irresistible expressions of optimism. In 1960, they signed to Warner Brothers Records, but with varying producers and a growing lack of confidence, their music's decline began. They eventually recorded an unbelievable song, Ebony Eyes, and That's Old Fashioned, which now seems only self-defensive. However, the most successful song the Everly Brothers ever released was their first with Warner's. Kathy's Clown sold over 2 million copies.
Don't want your love anymore. Don't want your kisses, that's for sure. I die each time I hear this sound. Here he comes, that's Kathy's clown. I've got to stand tall, you know.
The Everly Brothers had seen the heights of the possibilities that rock and roll had to offer, and as 50s rock stars in the 60s, they found the lowest. After a 5 or 6 year stretch that can best be called tragic, they released an album called Roots. One rock historian called it their last hurrah. The record was no more successful than their past several, but is musically a true highlight. The Byrds were among the many bands that cited the Everlys as being influential to their sound, but on Roots, Phil and Don were clearly being influenced. In July of 1973, the Everly Brothers gave what looked to be their last concert. Before the show was over, Phil smashed his guitar and walked off the stage. Don finished the show, saying the Everly Brothers died 10 years ago. Their story might have ended there. In fact, for years it looked as if it had. But in January of 1986, they released Born Yesterday, the second new Everly Brothers album produced by Dave Edmunds. In this album and EB84, released in 1984, the Everlys retreat to the job of just being interpretive musicians and once again give the controls to people who know how to handle their talents. In addition to successfully bringing them nearly 3 decades up to date, Edmunds' production includes encouraging them to sample songs written by 80s artists. There is a Don Everly cut, the title song on Born Yesterday, and it's very good. But the use of contemporary writers from the various areas of rock and country is an undeniable notice that the Everly Brothers know who owes them a little credit. And with songs by Bob Dylan and Mark Knopfler, they're giving credit too. KCPR salutes the Everly Brothers' entry into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here with a song from 1986's LP Born Yesterday, written by Tony and Chip Kinman of Rank and File, Amanda Ruth by the Everly Brothers.
Amanda, Amanda Ruth. tasty, her sugar sweet. No, she tastes good, but she's got something to eat. Commander!
DJ instructor Dog Kramer presents a special tribute to one of rock's great voices, Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke, a pioneer soul singer, put secular words in a gospel music content and paved the way for modern soul music. Hi, I'm Dog Kramer. Cooke was born in Chicago on January 22, 1935, one of eight sons of a local Baptist minister. In the first half of the early 50s, Cooke sang with a gospel group called the Soul Stirrers. He wanted to turn to pop music, but he was afraid of the effect it might have on both his gospel audience and his father. So his early pop releases were issued under the name of Dale Cooke. When the truth came out, he was forced to leave the Soul Stirrers, but he entered the pop market with his father's blessings. He took his self-composed You Send Me to Keen Records.
Darling, you send me. I know you send me. Darling, you send me. Honest you do, honest you do. Honest you do, oh, you thrill me. I know you thrill me. Darling, you thrill me. Honest you do. At first I thought it was infatuation, but it's lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. Whoa, whoa. You send me. I know you send me. Take you home. I know you send me. I know you send me. Oh, oh, you send me. Honest you do.
You Send Me became Cooke's first million seller, which sold 1.7 million copies. Cooke had many more hits for Keen Records, including Only 16. By the time he moved to RCA in 1960, he was writing all his own material. In the next 4 years, he enjoyed an unbroken succession of hits, including Wonderful World, Chain Gang, Bring It On Home to Me, and Twistin' the Night Away.
Let me tell you about a place somewhere up in New York way, where the people are so gay, twisting the night away. Here they have a lot of fun, putting trouble on the run. Man, you find the old and young, twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting.
How he got here, I don't know. But man, you ought to see him go twisting the night away. He's dancing with the chicken slacks. She's moving up and back. Oh man, there ain't nothing like twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night. Let's twist, go on. With the older queen who's dolled up in her diamond rings and twisting the night away. Man, you ought to see her go twisting to the rock and roll. Here you find the young and old twisting the night away. They're twisting, twisting, man. Everybody's feeling great. They're twisting, twisting. They're twisting the night.
On December 11th, 1964, Cook was shot dead in a Los Angeles motel. If he was influential while he lived, he was even more so after his death. His ballads became raw material for soul music as it emerged in the mid-60s. Otis Redding recorded Wonderful World, Shake, A Change Is Gonna Come, and Chain Gang, while Aretha Franklin made You Send Me, one of her earliest hits. Over in England, the Animals recorded Bring It On Home to Me. In recent years, Rod Stewart has frequently named Cook as his favorite singer and has recorded versions of You Send Me, Bring It On Home to Me, and Twistin' the Night Away as tributes. Cook's influence on modern rock and roll is clear, and we here at KCPR salute Sam Cooke.
I hear something saying,
the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they're saying,
sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away. Then you hear somebody say,
that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang.
All day long they're saying, my, 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 my. My work is so hard, give me water. My work is so hard, oh, oh, my, 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 my work is so hard.
You're listening to KCPR's tribute to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
KCPR's assistant music director Bruce Floor will now give us a look at Fats Domino, who brought the New Orleans sound to rock and roll.
Born Antoine Domino on February 26, 1928 in New Orleans, and thus raised in the same environment that produced Little Richard, Professor Longhair, and Dr. John, Fats Domino went on to become one of rock's most classic figures. Hi, I'm Bruce Floor. His first professional appearance was at the age of 10, and after that he just pounded away at the piano until 1949 he was given a regular engagement by bandleader and trumpeter Dave Bartholomew, and thus become a professional partnership that survived and flourished through the years, Bartholomew being Domino's musical arranger and co-writer. In 1949, Domino signed to Imperial Records. His debut single, becoming his first million-dollar seller, The Fat Man. In 1955, Fats had made a name for himself, produced some of his finest material, and stockpiled a number of hit singles. But then his pounding up-tempo piano style made him a natural rock and roller, and Domino established himself with the new audience, both in terms of his concert appearances and with a string of rock's classics that were uniquely his own. Ain't That a Shame, I'm Walking, Blueberry Hill, and Margie. He also appeared in two early rock and roll movies, The Girl Can't Help It and Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Here now is Fats Domino's first number one single in 1957, I'm Walkin'.
I'm walking, yeah, the day and I'm talking. By you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping that you come back to me. What you gonna do when the well run dry? You go. We'll be right back.
He earned his last gold disc, his 20th, in 1960 with Walking to New Orleans, and the 60s then proved to be a fallow period. In 1967, Brian Epstein persuaded him to play his first British concert at the Savile Theatre. He subsequently made further UK visits and also found his career reactivated by the rock and roll revival boom. He was given a small part in Let the Good Times Roll. Fats has come a long way from playing on battered pianos in New Orleans to becoming one of rock's true pioneers. Fats Domino's classic Ain't That a Shame has been covered by artists from Pat Boone to Cheap Trick, but no one has matched the energy that Fats put into all his music. Fats Domino, we here at KCPR salute you.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You broke my heart when you said we'll part. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry. Ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. When you said goodbye, ain't that a shame? My tears fell like rain. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. Oh, well, goodbye. Although I'll cry, ain't that a shame? Still feel like rain.
Music editor of Cal Poly's Mustang Daily, as well as a DJ here at KCPR, Carrie Blankenship, gives us her tribute to Jerry Lee Lewis.
The very titles of Jerry Lee Lewis' best-known tunes, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, Great Balls of Fire, and Breathless, describe the man and his music. Hi, I'm Carrie Blankenship. Audacious and arrogant, rollicking and rowdy, Jerry Lee Lewis took spontaneity to the brink of danger. Jerry Lee Lewis, born in Faraday, Louisiana on September 29, 1935, was taught how to play the piano by his father, Elmo. He originally began playing professionally in gospel-oriented shows and nightclubs. In 1956, after cutting country-oriented demos at Sun Records in Memphis, Lewis was instructed to go learn some rock and roll. Upon his return to Sun Records, he recorded his debut single, a cover of Ray Price's Crazy Arms, which became a regional success. And here's a more popular cut which has been redone by many artists. Here's Breathless.
If you come and love me, love me, please don't tease. If I can hold you, honey, let me squeeze. Oh, my heart will go round and round, and my love comes tumbling down. You believe me. Breathless, oh, I shake all over, honey, you know why. Sure it's love, baby, now that ain't no lie. I call when you call my name, honey, I burn like wood in flame. You believe me. Breathless, you know I can't love you enough. It's all right, go hold me tight. But when
you and I. Wind, rain, sleet or snow, I'm gonna get you, baby, wherever you go. You believe me. Breathless,
a session to record a follow-up, Lewis was told to play whatever came to mind. As the tape rolled, Jerry Lee Lewis had launched into his one-take wonder, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, combining a furious piano tack with uninhibited vocals. The single broke out of the South and swept the nation. This single earned Lewis his first gold disc, and here is A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On.
Shaking going on. Yeah, come on over, baby. Baby, you can't go wrong. Honey, I ain't begging. I got a whole lot of shaking going on. Come on over, baby. We got chicken in the barn. Woo, honey. Come on over, baby. Jerry's got the bull by the horn. And I ain't begging. I got a whole lot of shaking going on. Well, I did shake. Oh, baby, shake it. I did shake it, baby, shake it. I did shake, don't you let it break now. Oh, shake it, shake it, shake it. I'm on a whole lot of shaking going on. And we're going to town now. Shake it one time for me. To whip the head of the hussy, come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on. Now let's get it down a real low one time now. Now all you gotta do is stand it in one little spot. And then you wiggle it around a little bit. That's when you got something. Now let's go one time. Shake it, baby, shake it. Shake it, baby, shake it. Come on now, shake it. But you gotta shake, oh baby, shake it. Come on on, oh, shake it. Come on on.
When Jerry Lee Lewis made his first visit to Britain in 1958, there was a storm of criticism from the press over his young bride. She was not quite 14, and he canceled the tour and returned home. On his return, he cut The Return of Jerry Lee together with the local disc jockey George Klein. This was a comedy number with cuts from 14 of Lewis's numbers. And before we go into one of his most successful hits, Great Balls of Fire, Jerry Lee Lewis, we here at KCPR salute you.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey.
I've changed my mind. This love is fine.
Great balls of fire.
Kisses the baby.
Mmm. Feels good. Hold me, baby.
Well, I want to love you like I love the ship.
You're fine. So kind.
Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and then I twitch all my thumbs.
I'm real nervous, but it sure is fun.
Come on, baby. They drive me crazy.
It's just great balls of fire.
Hold me, baby. Well, I often love you like I love a should.
You're fine, so kind.
Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. That you're my legs and I twiddle on my thumb.
Real nervous, but it sure is fun.
Come on, baby, drive crazy.
Goodness, this gracious, this great balls of fire.
You're listening to a tribute to the first 10 inductees in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on KCBR.
Former general manager and now DJ here at KCPR, Dwayne Milwaukee gives us his look at Buddy Holly.
Although part of the pop music scene for only 37 months, Charles Hardin Holly had and continues to have an incredible influence on rock music. I'm Dwayne Milwaukee, and this is KCPR's tribute to Buddy Holly. Holly was born in Lubbock, Texas on September 7, 1938. He was the youngest of four musically inclined children and found himself interested in country and western music at a young age. By his mid-teens, he had gotten together with school friend Bob Montgomery. Playing at local parties and school events, they established a local following and soon landed a spot on station KDAV, which led to the weekly Buddy and Bob show and got them a tour of the Southwest United States with Hank Thompson. However, Holly's big break wasn't to come until he opened for Elvis Presley when the King was on one of his own first tours. Holly's talent was soon spotted, and he was signed on the U.S. Decca label. During the next 14 months, Holly recorded 11 non-released uncommercial singles, but it was not until he teamed up with friends Joe Malden and Nicky Sullivan and co-writer Jerry Allison to re-record an Allison-Holly composition in March of 57 that something clicked. Cut under the guidance of producer and future manager Norman Petty, the song That'll Be the Day went on to become the Crickets' first number one hit.
Love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday will be true. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day. Your heart, so if we ever part, then I leave you. You sit and hold me, and you tell me boldly that someday, well, I'll be through. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die. Well, that'll be the day. That'll be the day.
The next 7 months were busy for Buddy, even by today's standards. Holly signed on as a solo artist to Coral, as well as singing on the U.S. Brunswick label with the Crickets. The quadruplet enjoyed 7 top 40 hits in the United States, as well as 11 hit parade entries in England. In 1958, Holly had 4 different singles in Britain's hit parade at the same time, rivaling but not topping predecessor Bill Haley. Holly shared his stage with his audience, and at times became one with them. In the 50s, it was typical for a singer to croon about his favorite gal, to talk about her hair, her eyes, even the way she walked. But in Peggy Sue, Holly doesn't even give us anything close to this information. It's as if he were part of a crowd staring from afar at some girl everyone knows is unattainable. Holly leaves the description to our imagination. After all, we are right there, wishing alongside of him.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Oh, how my heart yearns for you. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, girlies. I love you, Peggy Sue. Peggy Sue, pretty, 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 pretty Peggy Sue. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I need you, Peggy Sue.
I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Well, I love you, gal. I want you, Peggy Sue. Yes, I need you, Peggy Sue. I love you, Peggy Sue, with a love so rare and true. Oh, Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I want you, Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, gal, and I want you.
Holly's influence on modern music is difficult to overstate. He popularized the four-piece band consisting of lead and rhythm guitars, a bass, and drum kit, a combination still popular today. Holly was one of the first white artists to rely exclusively on original material, including writing one-third of it himself, and he influenced many artists, including the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, whose very name is a tribute to Holly's Crickets. Holly combined musical influences as diverse as Hank Williams, Hank Snow, the Lovin' Brothers, Western swing bands, Elvis Presley, Bo Diddley, Carl Reskins, Tony Williams, Ray Charles, Black Gospel, and Baptist Church tunes. And this Tex-Mex mix was later picked up and integrated by the British sound of the 60s. The February 3rd plane crash near Mason City, Iowa, on the day the music died, abruptly ended a brief career, but the influence of it is still with us today. Buddy Holly, KCPR salutes you.
It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love. Fools. So here I go, breaking all of the rules. It seems so easy.
Seems so easy, seems so easy.
Oh, so doggone easy.
Doggone easy, doggone easy.
Mm-hmm. It seems so easy.
Seems so easy, seems so easy, seems so easy.
Where you're concerned, my heart has learned. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love.
It's so easy to fall in love.
and set apart for me. It seems so easy.
Seems so easy, seems so easy.
Ooh, it's a doggone easy.
Doggone easy, doggone easy.
It seems so easy.
Seems so easy, seems so easy, seems so easy.
Where you're concerned, my heart has turned. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love.
It's so easy,
doggone
easy.
It seems so easy,
seems so easy, seems so easy, seems so easy.
Well, where you concern, my heart has turned. It's so easy to fall in love. It's so easy to fall in love.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has established a special category for non-performers and early influences, and here to tell us all about the first inductees in that category is our Public Affairs Director, Rick Lopes.
The Hall of Fame Association also inducted five forefathers of the rock and roll movement. Two were singers, one was a pianist, one a producer, and one a radio disc jockey. Their contributions, though not widely recognized outside the music business, laid the foundation for rock and roll. Hi, I'm Rick Lopes. Alan Freed was one of rock and roll's first heroes. He played black R&B records for white teenagers as early as 1951 on his Moondog Rock and Roll Party on Cleveland's WJW and presented integrated concert bills. Later as a DJ in New York, Freed spread the rock gospel via television, films, and his all-star shows at Brooklyn's Paramount Theater. But, as a result of payola scandals, Freed was blackballed within the music business. He died a broken man in 1965. Jimmy Rogers, better known as the Singing Brakeman, made records only from 1927 until his death from tuberculosis in 1933. But in those 7 short years, Rogers laid the basic foundation for rock and roll by mixing rural black blues with traditional folk and hillbilly music. His Depression-era hits include Blue Yodel and Brakeman Blues. Sam Phillips' Sun Studios in Memphis may be the birthplace of rock and roll. Phillips produced historic blues and rockabilly for his Sun label, including 5 hit singles by a white Southerner who changed pop music forever. His name was Elvis Presley. Mississippi Delta singer and guitarist Robert Johnson influenced not only fellow bluesmen, his gritty, harrowing blues also cast a spell over future rockers like Eric Clapton and the Rolling Stones. Johnson died at the age of 27 in 1938. Chicago boogie-woogie pianist Jimmy Yancey gave rock its role. Born in 1898, Yancey didn't live to see rock and roll explosions, but the rhythmic thrust of his work was a major influence on great pianists like Professor Longhair and Ray Charles. Yancey died in 1951. It's obvious that the influence these men had on the creation of rock and roll was instrumental in the music revolution that took America by storm. Rock and roll owes a great debt to these pioneers. Alan Freed, Jimmy Rogers, Sam Phillips, Robert Johnson, and Jimmy Yancey, 5 of the initial members of the newly established Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We here at KCPR would like to salute you.